It's time to get your goalkeeping groove on with the ultimate at-home goalkeeping workout. Want to top up on your training? Join ex-Premier League stopper Richard Lee from the comfort of your own home. For 30 minutes, three times per week, Rich will take to Instagram Live and run viewers through an easy-to-follow training routine developed from his years of professional experience working with first-class goalkeepers and goalkeeping coaches. Work on and improve speed, strength, technique, and many other aspects of your game while engaging the core muscle groups and athletic ability required to be a top goalkeeper.
Just there, nice and simple. Just right hand to left hand, get the ball moving, get a little bit higher. Good, right into some straight into some goalkeeping core. So ball out in front, nice squat down and up.
All you need is a few essential household items, a good Wi-Fi connection, and a small space at home. With a weekly mindset session and goalkeeper quiz to boot, consider this your one-stop shop for goalkeeping growth. Join the Joe Wicks of goalkeeping today on a free one-week trial with no obligation to continue. Visit goalkeepersunion.net/workout for more details.
You've been brilliant. You always are. Well done. Great attitude. I'll see you shortly. Take care.
Still seems to be set up for the shot, which comes in from Solano. It was awkward in front of Murray and he did well.
Good football all round. The first rule of thumb here, what the goalkeeper test his handling and just bouncing it so awkwardly in front of him.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Well, hello there.
How are you, Richard? The weather has somewhat dipped in recent weeks. I know you've been improving that tan that you've got. I have to say, on these Instagram live chats, and let's touch on this, we got a question today on our Instagram live chat where we were discussing mistakes that goalkeepers might potentially make on their return from lockdown. And right towards the end of the chat, one of the viewers came up and said, Richard, please reveal to me what your skincare routine is.
Yeah, an unusual question. I mean, at the same time, I was quite pleased that I was asked. I take it as a compliment. And of course, these days, male grooming is quite the industry.
Do you actually have a skincare routine?
I wouldn't call it a routine. I do moisturise. I didn't really know that this conversation was going to go down this path, Matthew. But yes, I do moisturise.
The element of surprise with the Goalkeepers Union podcast, mate. It's worth mentioning that we do get all kinds of weird and wonderful questions on these Instagram live chats. For those listening in who actually aren't aware, during lockdown, GKU TV has begun. Richard has been doing numerous chats on various goalkeeping topics. You've had all kinds of goalkeeping guests on as well today. Earlier on today, before we did this interview with Matt Murray, you had Neil Cutler, the Aston Villa goalkeeper coach. That was a really, really good chat. But the volume of questions that we get, and it's great because we get questions from all over the world. And, you know, we've had greetings from Argentina, from Brazil. We've been asked to speak Turkish. We've been asked to speak Persian. I did notice one, and it wasn't on today's chat, and we haven't actually discussed this, but someone did say, and I can't quantify who they were talking about, whether it was me or whether it was you, but they did say, can someone please tell that person or ask that person if they've walked through a door?
I don't really know what to say to that.
I've also been asked, or I've at least been told, that I look like Messi. So there's another one.
Is that a compliment?
Well, I don't know. Is it?
I mean, I'd love to be like Messi. I don't know if I necessarily want to look like Messi. Not that he's an unattractive male, but I don't think it's necessarily a compliment.
It's just incredible, isn't it? All the questions that you get. We like to think that we'll keep it to goalkeeping, but such is the way of our podcast. And of course, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask us, it's very easy to do so on Twitter @GK Union or email us hello@goalkeepersunion.net. This week's guest is a goalkeeper familiar to many on the screens of Sky Sports. He was a one-club man with Wolves in a career cruelly cut short by injury when he was just 29 years of age. But even with limited playing time, he still managed to cram in a promotion and a bag of personal awards to boot. Once touted as England's next big thing and probably the best-looking man we've had on the podcast thus far. Sorry, Richard. Matt Murray, welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Thank you. Very, very kind of you. Thank you.
Not a problem. Actually, to quickly touch on the good looking thing, that clip, we've got to quickly touch on that. The clip that Soccer AM put out of you in Sky Sports Studio.
You're going straight in on me.
We've got to mention it.
Do you know what? They're all good guys. So Darius, who's a producer for Soccer AM, used to work on Soccer Saturday with myself. Rich will probably know him. And they said I had some fluff in my beard when I was doing the Liverpool Wolves game. So I've got my earpiece in, someone's talking to me, I'm talking back, I'm looking in the camera trying to find a bit of fluff, but they were trying to be polite because they didn't know if it was grey hair or fluff. Because I'm at that stage now. So I'm having a banner, and then obviously that is off air, someone has trawled through it, found it, and the amount of lads that have sent that to me, and they keep playing it and playing it. But it's that accent, jawline, chiseled like granite. That's the bit that just kills me. I love banter. And I know, you know, Rich in the dressing room, the best thing is, and even though I'm the biggest in the dressing room, I always took the banter and I loved it. And I actually rang and said, are you okay with it? I said, look, the day you stop bantering me is the day I'm okay. So yes, I've took plenty of stick, whether it's off my daughter and her friends or plenty of players. But yeah, I wish I was as good looking as Rich, put it that way.
Hey, I'm not happy. We've started this on a negative note, by the way, Matt. I'm not happy that you've thrown in that already. We can't be doing those comparisons just yet.
Wait, I've got a face for radio, geez. You're the one who should be on the screen more regular, man.
Well, I thought I'd get that out of the way early doors, just so we could swiftly move past it. But Rich, crack on.
Let's do it. So the standard three questions, just quick fire to get us going. The first one is gloves. Everyone's always interested. What gloves do you wear? What gloves did you wear during your career?
When I made my debut, I was wearing the Sondico. Loved them.
Oh, wait, just quickly, I've got to touch on that. Old school Sondico, the SMGs, the SRGs, is it back then?
Yes, yeah. So Mike Stowell used to give me them, and I was buzzing, and then they sponsored me. So like, and you'll see when I'm playing in the playoff final and that, and I had the black and white Sondicos on them, but I just loved them. The green back or the red back ones are legend.
Yeah.
And when before I got sponsored, we used to get given our money from the club, and we could go up to the kit shop. Ron Flowers, who was a Wolves legend, had a sports shop in town. He was part of the World Cup winning squad, and he had a sports shop in town. He said, go up, get money off the kit, man. So they were my gloves that I wore then. My last season playing was Your Sport, some nice Your Sport, and I was just about to change to HO, and then I had the injury, so I've still got a full box of HO gloves. Aqua grip, ready to go, roll finger. Lovely, man.
Do you know what? It's the way in which goalkeepers talk about gloves. It's a little bit weird, the kind of the tonality that we use when we talk about gloves. I still remember, in fact, we're kind of going off tangent here, because this is going to be a quick fire three questions. But like, I still remember as a kid, when you get those brand new Sondicos, and that was the brand, it was Roysch and Sondico, wasn't it? The Peter Schmeichel Roysch gloves, the Sondicos. And I remember I went from SRG to SMG, and the excitement when I first opened those gloves.
Well, Neville Southall was my hero growing up, and then Shaka Hislop. So, but yeah, that excitement. I used to look at gloves for ages and ages, go in sports shops the same as a young kid. And I think that's one of the biggest things as a pro. When you're a kid, you save your pocket money, it was Christmas presents, and you realise how hard it is for your parents to afford them. And and the better the glove, the quicker they wear out. So when you just get given them boxes loads when you're a player, when you're, you know, a first team player, it really does resonate, you know, and you think, oh man, it is ledge. So yeah, it's very, very sad. And if you're not a goalkeeper, you don't get it. But yeah, man, I can talk gloves all day. And that's when I see like Andy Lonergan post on say Insta or something, straight away I send him a message about the gloves.
I love it. Thankfully there's only goalkeepers that listen to this. Trust me, there are definitely only goalkeepers that listen to this podcast. So we're fine. The second of the quick fire questions, your favourite kit that you ever wore. What was your favourite kit and why?
It's gonna have to be when I first started at Wolves, we had like this mad sort of dashy, all sort of colours, and it had Goodyear on, but it was proper bright, and it was just because that was the first professional kit I'd ever worn. And when you walked in the dressing room and he gave you a kit that the actual pros wore, it wasn't your Sunday league kit or anything like that. It was the first time I'd worn a proper professional kit with the badges on and that. So he had all these mad dashes on. I don't even know the make. And he had a good year on. And yeah, that was it. It was well too big. Way too big. Because every shirt for goalkeepers was double XL. So even when you're like a skinny 16-year-old, if the wind blew too hard, you took off. But yeah, the Goodyear kit with the mad dashes on Wolves fans.
Love it. Do you know what? It's funny when you look back, even now, I look back at kits I wore when I was 20, 21, and they're huge. But that was it, right? That was it back then. I wasn't the only one. Every goalkeeper had this kit that was more like a dress.
Yeah, but at least the outfield boys are like, as well, because I remember the outfield boys, same again, I'll name drop on that, but like Robbie Keane, because when you're young starting, you have to take the bigger sizes, and there were so many XLs, and especially in the shorts and the tops, and it just used to drown people, and that's so good with all the, you know, with lockdown and all the classic games have been on.
Yeah.
Just looking at those kits thinking, wow, proper baggy, man, proper baggy.
Do you know, I actually went throughout my career from an XL to a medium. I don't know how that even happens, but anyway, the last of the quick fire questions. Favorite save. Now, this isn't necessarily the save that everybody remembers because it was live on Sky or, you know, a great save in a final or whatever. Like, your greatest save, in that it might have been one that no one's ever seen. It might have been one in training. It might have been one on a Tuesday night in the middle of nowhere. But you know yourself, it was your best ever save.
Yeah, and when I chat with people about this, I think you have importance of saves. But the one I enjoyed the most was we beat West Brom 1-0 at Molineux. And they'd beaten us twice earlier in the season, 3-0. Hadn't been happy with my performance. The fans, the West Brom fans, had taunted us, Tesco carrier bags on the seat behind the goal and everything else. But in the game where we won 1-0, I had like a personal duel with Dimantsi Kamara that day. And I'd say things with my head, my face, my knee, whatever. And right at the last minute, we're 1-0 up, he's cut inside and he's shot. And it was one of those improvisation saves. And I just managed to sort of like move my shoulder, and it was mad how I deflected it over with my shoulder because I couldn't get anything else to it, and it did feel like it was in slow motion, and all the fans held their breath, so it kept us a clean sheet, and I felt it was an important save. But I liked it because it was an improvisation, and something that we used to work on with Bobby Mims. He said, don't always try and make the perfect save, just sometimes just keep the ball out of the net, find your way. And that was one of those. So I think the magnitude of the save, but also it's something you've been working on. It felt good. And he had me on toast the two games before that. So again, on that afternoon to come out on top was nice.
Okay, well, like we said at the top there, we're going to kind of journey through your career, talk about all kinds of bits and pieces. But just before we get onto that, just from searching your name, now I wasn't aware of this, I'd actually found the same thing with Antti Niemi. Were you aware there is another Matt Murray who's also a goalkeeper?
But in ice hockey.
Yeah, he's a goaltender for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, so I found that out because on Twitter. So sometimes on Twitter, I get messages through and I'm thinking, what is this about? Because it's a different language. So that's when I realised that, there's a Matt Murray goalkeeper tender who, like footballers, he's obviously, when he has a good game, he's the hero and he gets all the stuff. And then other times I get some of his tweets and he's obviously chopped one in or whatever because he's getting absolutely battered. So that's how it's how I come across. But I don't even bother replying anymore because it's probably got me a load of followers that I haven't got a clue who I am.
Do you know, actually, on that note, Matt, I've never told you this. If you type in Richard Lee into Google, it comes up with an axe murderer.
So, no comment, bro.
Anyway, continue.
Never knew that one. Never knew that. Okay, maybe that's for another podcast, an After Hours podcast, maybe. But it is funny. Yeah, Matt Murray, Antti Niemi as well is a goaltender in ice hockey. Of course, there was an Antti Niemi who played for many years for Celtic, Southampton, a bunch of other clubs. Petacek is the only one who's actually himself when he plays ice hockey. Yeah, but yeah, some correlation there. So we're going to touch on bits of your career, like we said. But because I think it's stuff you've spoken about on so many occasions and can be found via various other podcasts that you've done over the course of the past few years or so. We're not going to dwell on all the specifics. Instead, I think we'll focus more on the psychology of goalkeeping to begin with. That mindset that, Rich, I know you love getting into, and Matt, I know you're equally as big on it. We'll talk about nerves as well, pre-match nerves, nerves during a game, and so on. Actually, for that matter, I'm going to drop something in again. I don't want to keep coming at you here, Matt, but is it true? The morning of your debut, you were sick, you threw up.
Yeah, physically sick. Yeah, I was. Yeah, and it was one of them that mentally I felt, you know, ready, and I told myself. But I woke up on the morning. We're in a hotel down in Wimbledon. You know, we're playing at Selhurst Park before Wimbledon had moved, and it was weird. I couldn't eat whatever, and I was physically sick. Once I got into the game and did the warm up, but it was like it's just nowhere. It was like my subconscious. I couldn't deal with it. There was nothing I could do. It's like my body just took over, and I was physically sick. Yeah, a couple of times I was. With nerves, and it's just something again that I had to learn to deal with. So that's why I had to learn with my match preparation that I knew on the morning of the game, if I was playing, I couldn't really eat, so I loaded the night before. I was physically sick, and I was like, "Wow, what is?" I'd not experienced that before. I'd felt, you know, the butterflies, but not actually to be physically sick.
It fascinates me this, because then what was the actual feeling though, right? Because look. Being sick, but was that then linked with a lot of negativity? Was it one where you'd wake up in the morning and you'd feel quite negative about the day? Or was it just simply that you just had sickness? You actually felt fine mentally, but just had sickness?
Yeah, I think it was. So when I was younger, now when I look back at things, I just, you know, I didn't want my breakfast and used to get really, really nervous. And again, if I look at it, my mum is amazing. You know, I can go all deep, I'm adopted and everything else, but I've got fantastic parents, but my mum would never watch me play, and it was always, I can't watch you play in case you make a mistake. So that there sort of put a lot on about making mistakes, whereas my stepdad was the other way. No, I believe I want to go and watch you shine, you know. So I had stuff to do with my nerves for sure. And then so just on that match day, I don't know why I just never experienced it being so, so nervous and that extreme, where I've had like the hard hands before, or not been able to sleep the night before and everything else. But actually being sick was a big thing. So yeah, I had to deal with it. I had a chat with my goalie coach, who was wicked, Bobby Mims, who was like a psychologist to me. Yes, he helped you with all the technical side, but the way he spoke to me was great. And just once I had been sick and then got around the lads and on the walk and everything else, and it just sort of seemed to just ease. And once I got into the game, even though I picked the ball out of my net after about 6 minutes, it just felt like I grew into the game. Something I had to experience and get over. And later on, I did do a lot with a psychologist on those negative thoughts that came in.
Do you know what? It's so interesting. Look, this I mentioned to you before, predominantly it's a lot of goalkeeper coaches and young goalkeepers that, of course, listen to this podcast. And the amount of emails, the amount of messages we get from people that say they experienced exactly the same thing. Do you know what I found as well during my career? I was exactly the same. I'd wake up, the second I woke up, I knew I had a game that day. And the hardest thing for me was actually controlling my thoughts between the moment you wake up and the game itself. You control all the controllables, you'd eat the right things, you'd make sure you try. But it was more the thought processes and thinking the right things, not to allow the negativity to get away with you. And the thing that I found really interesting was, even then, when I retired 5 years ago, I played one game of football since. That was about 2 years ago. I just turned up randomly in a Conference South game for Dunstable. Out of nowhere, I was doing someone a favour. But even for that game, I got the same nerves. You know, it's a game that, no disrespect, meant nothing. But instantly, all those feelings kind of came flooding back. And I had to go through the same process again and get my mindset in the right place. Like, how did you find it as you journeyed through your career? Was it one where it just got easier and easier? Or did you have a process that you felt you followed?
Yeah, so there was a psychologist at Wolves called Tim O'Brien. And I was so lucky again. People came into my life at the right time. So there was Peter Benetti, God rest his soul. He gave me some good advice. Bobby Mims gave me great advice. Mike Stowe, people like that. But Tim O'Brien was a psychologist that came into Wolves. And oh my days, I sat down with him. It was one of the first times that I really felt I totally opened up about everything I felt. And then you actually realise it's actually quite normal to feel that. But you felt that maybe in the macho environment, you can't do that. You know, I've got Paul Ince as a captain, you know, Paul Butler, Dennis Irwin, all these massive, you know, big names and experienced players in the dressing room. So if I open up any of this, the nerves I feel or the fears I feel, am I showing a weakness, you know? And especially as a goalkeeper, they've got trust in you. So there were things that... perceptions, you know, things that I thought they perceived about me, you know. I was what's the word? I'm trying to think of the word now, but yes, so basically it was all these things that I felt I should be and all this and that. So when I sat down with Tim O'Brien, and I went through what I'm feeling. He taught me how to thought stop. So I used to, we had a process that would work. So night before a game, definitely felt different. And I actually missed that. That's one of the things I missed more than anything. Then I'd wake up in the morning. Yes, my stomach would feel tight. So I used to, I used to try and room on my own so that if I wouldn't be disturbed and I could follow my routine. Also not be embarrassed, not to project is the word I'm looking for. So projecting is very, very dangerous when you think of all the things other people are thinking that they might not even think. Okay, so not project. Then I used to do affirmations, which was to write down what I am. And again, a big thing that I had to learn was to say, like, I own my box. I communicate well. I am big and strong. All the things I am, not I won't make a mistake, not I won't shank a kick and all that stuff. It was all the things I'm going to do. So I did that. We also did hypnosis, which was fantastic for me. I really, really, was really, really useful. So I visualized. I don't know if you've ever been hypnotized, but
yeah,
I had to do it to, one, to help with my back injury. But then the other time we did it, as I say, was with this mistakes, and that was to visualize how it felt. So what it felt when I made one of the best saves I could think of, what it felt like, what it smelled like, everything, the noise, looked like I'm looking down on myself, everything else. Then kicking was my biggest hang-up. I hated kicking. Absolutely hated it. So that was a big thing for me. So again, I had to visualize that, take the fear away from it, what it felt like to place the ball down, strike through it, and all these things. So that was good. So the affirmations, the visualization, the work with a psychologist, and then thought stopping. So when I woke up on a morning and I'm brushing my teeth before a game and a bad kick will come in my mind, the ball going through my legs, all those things, then when they were all coming in my mind, I just say stop. Just say stop. And then replace it with a positive thought. So I didn't do superstition, but I liked routine. So I liked routine and I liked, and those things I felt then meant that I was already playing the game in my head. So that when I stepped out there, whatever time the kickoff was, I felt like I was playing the game in my head. And I felt that really, really helped me. So not look out the curtains and go, is it windy? Is it rainy? Oh, all these things. Well, even Peter Schmeichel couldn't cope with that. So if I'd practiced in the bad conditions and I was the best I could be, mistakes happen. My parents will still love me. My kids will still love me. Let's just get out there and do it.
Top stuff and some real insight from Matt Murray there. Plenty more too over on our new Patreon channel. Muzza and Rich delve even deeper into the psychology required to be a top goalkeeper, the pressures of the position. Matt opens up on his life outside of football and plenty more. To hear that extended interview, just visit patreon.com/goalkeepersunion or goalkeepersunion.net and navigate your way to the Join GKU tab for more details. We are going to be updating the platform as the weeks go on. There's going to be additional content, analysis and general goalkeeping chat. It's also now going to be the permanent new home of our Between the Sticks podcast. That is patreon.com/goalkeepersunion or goalkeepersunion.net and join GKU. We'll see you next time.